God makes us qualify. What? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, the light. Children of light. Not children of the night or of darkness, but of light. No thief overtakes us because of the light. The Father, by His grace. That's what the grace of God does. The grace of God makes us qualify. Now don't be, because here's the influence of the doctrines that are out there, and I want to cover them because I hope those people listen someday, or that maybe perhaps I may turn aside just a few from the gospels of death to the gospels of light and of life and of righteousness, that I might persuade one or two. I would have full joy in that. To be made meet is not just that God just says, oh yeah, you're good. You're good enough. Just as you are without any adjustments. I don't want to renew you. I'm just going to declare you righteous. And we come to God as we are. But He changes us. If He doesn't change us, it's because of the gospel that you're believing in. Honestly, that's why. It's because your faith is misplaced. And you're going to be in for the shock of your life because you trusted in this name of Jesus. But unfortunately, the name was attached to an entirely false gospel. Now, the name of Jesus is not just J-E-S-U-S. And this is something I haven't covered much in my Bible studies, but I'll probably talk about it more, especially as I go into things where it talks about His name. The name of Christ is that man and everything He stood for and everything He taught. You know, when they say, what are you trying to get a name for yourself? It's your reputation. Unfortunately, the reputation of Christ has been soiled. It really makes me mad. But I have patience, honestly. Well, what am I going to do? The zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up, but it's God's will for now. You know, if God wanted people to hear me, He would make it could be very easy. He could just cause me to work miracles. But why would He do that when I haven't been made into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Well, He could do it anyways. And the apostles did things when they were still prone to error. But, you know, whatever God wants to do, He will do. And I'm not going to be, I'm not going to lose any sleep. I don't lose any sleep over them. I don't lay in my bed, oh, those ministers. But, you know, when I pick up the Word and I enter into the place where the Spirit of God is moving on me as the Word is floating here in my mind and in the Spirit on my tongue, you know, I'm just filled with that zeal. And the indignation of the Lord. So, does that kind of clue you in on the knowledge of what God's will is? He wants to make us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now, we talked about that inheritance. What is the inheritance? God is our inheritance. The divine nature. These great, precious promises. And by those promises, we partake of the divine nature. How? Well, because God is the divine nature. He's righteous. He never lies. He's truthful. He's pure. He is without spot or blemish. He's just. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He has love. Pure love. And we partake of His nature. People, when I said, Paul, you said God loves, but you say God hates. Yeah, He loves and He hates. Because, as it says of the Lord, it says, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. If you love righteousness, you have to hate iniquity. If God loves His children, then he's going to hate their enemies. Even though he created their enemies. Because, see, you know, it's like, Paul uses the idea of vessels. You know, you create a toilet for the toilet's use. It's a vessel of dishonor. It says, God hath created all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That is the purpose to which the wicked have been created, according to the scriptures. So most people don't know. They say, oh, well, free will, blah, 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 blah. Nonsense. It's nothing to do with the Bible. See, the thing is, when people, see, I know I'm digressing a lot, but hey, this is where the Spirit of God is leading me. I was thinking about this today. You know, these writings of these, a lot of the early, in the early church and so on and so forth. I mean, early, they call it early. But we're talking hundreds of years after the apostles. And even from the time of the apostles, people were trying to incorporate Greek philosophy into Christian doctrine. And trying to prove them to be compatible. Why? To win philosophers. Seemed like a good idea. Bad idea. The Christian philosophy, quote unquote, you know, the philosophy means love of wisdom. And there is a philosophy in Christianity. And that's, you know, it says he's going to fill you with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. So I want to show you, that, you know, phile is love of, sophia is wisdom. Love of wisdom. And they had a certain sort of wisdom that they taught. And today there's a certain sort of wisdom, you know, you watch a Disney movie, you know, and they're like, what is it? It's like, you know, all of us have a little evil in us. It's whether or not we choose to use it. That's not what the scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that, yeah, we all have evil and we can't stop using it. It'd be nice if I could just, hey, I just want to be good. And I'm going to be nothing but good. I'm never going to be mean or spiteful. I'm never going to be impatient. I'm never going to do anything bad. I'll simply choose. It's funny, on the one hand, you have people say, well, there's free will. Then how come they can't choose to do everything right all the time? They'll say, well, I can't be perfect. Well, if you had free will, you should be able to be perfect. Just choose good. Your will is free. You know, freedom implies the absolute ability to, you know, you have this open thing. You know, it's like if you want to, you can go and start your own business because the country is free. Or you can believe, let's not do business because gosh.